So, we've heard the Christmas story in small pieces over the last few weeks. And we heard it on Christmas Eve, but this morning I invite you to hear it all in one setting, without being broken up into little pieces and mixed in with things. Hear the story. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. And since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, which was called Bethlehem. It was in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, and wrapped him snugly and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in anyone's guest room. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, and they were guarding their sheep at night. And the Lord's angel stood before them, and the Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring you good news. It's wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel, and they were all praising God, saying, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and let's see what's happened. Let's confirm what we've just heard about." So they went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory, and she thought about them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. I intentionally picked a different translation this morning, not the one you might usually hear. I didn't want to do that to anybody on Christmas Eve. But sometimes it's neat to hear the words in a little different order, because we expect them to just sort of roll along, and maybe you hear something a little different. It's a story that we risk hearing so many times we quit paying attention to, because we know what's going to happen. In fact, that's the risk of the entire Advent season. We know the baby shows up at the end, so we don't always pay that much attention. But the Christ child has arrived again, and this is what we celebrate. But there's always an important question to ask this Sunday following Christmas. What now? Right? The angels have sung, the shepherds have gone their merry way. What now? Our Christmas story doesn't say much about what happened next. There's nothing in there, in any of the Gospels. And so Mary and Joseph sat around and talked about what the feeding schedule would be and who was going to get up and take care of this, that, and the other. And Joseph changed his first diaper. And, you know, I mean, there's no story there. In fact, the next thing the Bible tells us about skips 8 days forward to when Jesus was circumcised. Man, wouldn't that be a fun sermon? And then the next thing we hear, we go from 8 days to 2 years when those wise men show up. Not a lot of childhood stories. What do you think divine terrible twos look like? You know, the immediate time following that birth isn't spoken of. It isn't described. And so, because the story is told to help us recognize Jesus' humanity, his birth just like all of us experienced, I think about my own family. And I think about our Christmas. What's our Christmas look like? We're with all the people, we're with all the presents, and then what now? Something all of us deal with, all of us encounter. Because the company might still be there, the wrapping paper still laying on the floor. Christmas is still going on around us. After the gifts are opened, what then? I've already seen Christmas trees next to dumpsters. There's all sorts of giant, hefty bags filled with empty wrapping paper sitting beside people's doorways. There were giant lines already at the stores, people exchanging and returning gifts. Thank you so much. What can I get instead? These realities of the few days after Christmas, it's so glimmering, so beautiful, that moment of Christmas, and then all these different realities set in. You hear a number of people, oh, I'm so glad Christmas is over, now we can move on. Here's the thing. We're only halfway into Christmas. Despite retailers using the 12 days of Christmas during mid-December so they can boost sales and entice you into their stores, the 12 days of Christmas began on the 25th. Happy fifth day of Christmas. Christmas continues to move forward. You really want to throw somebody off? Say Merry Christmas today. Wait, what? There's all sorts of conversations about the war on Christmas. Folks, that's Advent. Now is Christmas. Now we celebrate Christ's arrival, and we don't let it go away too quickly. Christmas was not intended to be some sort of terminal event, something that happens, and then you put it in the box, you put it on the shelf, and you'll open it up next November. We'll get it out again, and it'll happen one more time. Christmas is not the end of anything. The story we hear in Luke doesn't end. It's a beginning of something that goes on. In fact, it's the same message we're going to sing in Joy to the World. We don't sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come, like it's over and done with. If you look at the words, it's the Lord is come. There is deep meaning in that challenging and possibly incorrect grammar. Because Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. So I wanted to think a little bit about Christmas with you today and the gift of Jesus. And I wanted to do through sharing some present stories with you. I remember I was about 7 years old. And it was one of those mornings where I ran in, hey, it's Christmas, it's Christmas, it's Christmas. And my parents were like, it is 4:30 in the morning. You can go open one present out of your stocking. So I did. And I reached into that stocking and I pulled out a little box of Legos. It was one of the little ones that came with a little person and just enough pieces to build some tiny little, I don't know if it was a jet ski or a little rover or something. Tiny little box of Legos. I was very excited about that. And as the morning went on, I had this there, and what I didn't know is that was just one part of a much bigger set I was going to get later. Didn't know that yet. And I sat there and I thought, well, this is awesome, but are these all the Legos I'm going to get? They were still asleep. I couldn't ask. And how would they know what Santa brought anyway? I mean, is this it? I really love Legos. And the idea of getting that tiny little handful just wasn't enough. I didn't know there was more to come. And so at first glance at that gift, I was a little bit let down. And then that morning, as my cousins and other people started to open presents, they all got these big Lego sets, and I just got this little one. Others seemed to have more. And then that other box was opened. You know, I find this true, not just of a moment with Legos, but I think a story like this can certainly be true of a little baby born in a manger to a world that was waiting for a king. I wonder how many folks showed up and went, that's it? We need a little bit more than that. I really love hope, peace, love, and joy, God. Can we get a little bit more than the baby, please? Not knowing there is so much more to come. That the gift will continue to grow and build, and there will be so much more there. One of my other favorite parts of Christmas was actually a gift my sister got every year. In an unselfish moment, I was so grateful to watch her open a gift from my grandfather every year, because he would give her a puzzle box every single year. She would have a gift, and it would be inside. I don't know where he found these things. My sister would have to spend 2 hours trying to open this puzzle box every year. Different one every year. One year there was a marble, and she had to slowly work it through a maze on the outside. And when the marble finally dropped into the middle, the whole box opened up, and there was her check from Grandpa in the middle. Oh, there were years it was just a solid wooden box, and it turns out you had to shake it left, and shake it twice to the right and once, and then flip it upside. No clue. And she would sit there just frustrated. Okay, maybe the story isn't as unselfish as I thought. She would sit there so frustrated and angry. We'd all be opening presents left and right, and then there she was. I can't open this! And one year we tried to say you can only open one gift at a time. So until your gift is open, you can't open anything else. That didn't fly. But I always thought it was interesting because she'd hand it to some of the rest of us. and we could get it open really quickly. Then we'd close it and hand it back to her. Because the rule from Grandpa was, you've got to figure it out yourself. You have to do this yourself. Because for my grandpa, the entire process was part of the gift. Even though he was in Minnesota and she was here, he was sitting there on Christmas morning, I guarantee you, smiling that little smile that curled up just a little bit at the end, much akin to the Grinch, you know, and just laughing, knowing my sister was just infuriated. But for him, that was part of the gift. He wanted her to know that he enjoyed that playfulness of their relationship. And I think of a story like this as being true not only of a puzzling box, but how it might too be true of Jesus, who would live this very complex, intriguing life that we have to look at and deal with and wrestle with to really get something out of it. The gift of the manger wasn't just, here it is, folks, that's all there is. The gift of the manger is God smiling, saying, there is so much more here, but the process is part of the gift. And yeah, sometimes we all get there in our own timelines. Sometimes it looks like the person next to us is right there and gets all of it, and we're going, I have no clue what to do with this Jesus thing. But it's ours. And when we do get there, when we have spent the time, and when something is revealed to us, then it's ours. It's ours. Because the process is part of that gift. The other gift I think about, left it right up here. A few years ago, after my grandmother died, my mom and my aunt and uncle took and gathered together all of her Hummel ornaments. In addition to collecting all the little ceramic figurines, she had a collection of ornaments with all the little Hummel pictures on them. And all of us got one or two of them. And she'd already picked out which ones she thought might be good for each of us. You know, I have one of a little boy singing. You know, my cousin got one of someone playing instruments. These things that she thought tied into each of us. And I love these ornaments because every year when I put it on my tree, I'm reminded of a legacy. It isn't just something that's simple. It's something that carries a story with it. And it's something that was a part of the past that I get to carry into the future. I feel like I've been trusted with something. I've been given an instruction to care for it, that someday I might share it as well. It's a chance every year, even though he's tiny, to tell my son a story about his great grandma Ruth, who he never got a chance to meet. And I think about the gift of Christmas. And again, how these stories might layer themselves. God has loved humanity since our beginning. There's a past, a background, a growth of God's love. God's love existed before Christmas. But at Christmas, we are entrusted with a life and a story, something that is ours, a legacy to care for, to appreciate, to share, and to pass on. Something we can look at and tell those in our lives and others we care about a story. And this is what it means to me. And this is what I'm reminded of. And this is why I'm going to revisit it year after year after year. You see, the gift of Christmas is a gift that keeps on giving. Jesus is a gift that has so much more to come. Jesus is the kind of gift that invites us to work in our own way, in our own time, to discover what more is there. And the gift of Christmas is entrusted to us as a continuing part of God's legacy of love. So Merry Christmas. And even as you put away those decorations until next year, I invite you to remember that this is only the beginning.